Aren't you thankful that Calvary covers it all? It covers our sin. It does cover our stain. Man, when you ever had an ugly wall you had to paint and it just didn't seem like you could cover it? You had to go get some of that Kiehl's primer or something else. Man, it just kept bleeding through. That's what our sin would do if it was responsible to us for our salvation. It would just keep bleeding through all the good things I do because our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. But Calvary, Jesus, as we celebrate this evening, His blood covers it all. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. Turn your Bibles to Colossians, if you will. The book of Colossians, chapter 2. Stay focused. When we think about life, it's easy to get distracted. There are so many different things that we need to stay focused in. How many of you have ever ridden with someone who drove and they weren't focused? How many of you don't ever want to ride with that person again? Right. I mean, how about when you look at sports teams and how they play games sometimes? Sometimes you're just like the quarterback. He can't hit a throw. It's because he just can't stay focused. Sometimes the pitcher in baseball, man, why is every ball that he's throwing getting swung at and hit? He can't strike anybody out. He can't stay focused. There are things in life we must stay focused with. And yet the biggest thing, the biggest responsibility that you and I have for staying focused is staying focused on the Word of God and His change that He brings in life. Tonight, as we look at Colossians chapter 2, I want us to be reminded to stay focused. Colossians 2, let's begin reading in verse number 6. Colossians 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. It all goes back to Christ. And if you and I can stay focused on Christ, it makes a difference in our lives. But before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for this opportunity that we have to gather around Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts, that You would make a difference, that You would challenge us in our lives this week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number one this evening, you have received Him, so walk in Him. You have received Him, so walk in Him. When we receive something, we like to use it. How many of you have given something to someone and they never used it and you wonder, why did I give that to them? Well, we have been given so much. You have received Him. You've received Christ, so walk in Him. Most of us in this room know Jesus Christ as Savior. We must then walk in Him. Not cast aside that gift, but to walk in Him. This word received means to associate in a familiar relationship. We're not just talking about receiving a gift. This is a relationship that you and I have received. It's a familiar one. When you go to the city, you go to Jackson, you go shopping, you go somewhere, and you run into people that you don't know, those aren't familiar relationships. Why is it that you don't give someone your purse and say, hey, would you hold this? I got to go over here real quick. Because you don't have a familiar relationship with them. And when we have familiar relationships with people, we begin to trust them. It goes back and forth. But we have a familiar relationship with Jesus Christ. We've received this. We can trust Him. So let's walk in Him. Let's live life His way. You've received Him, so walk in Him. Be walking in Him. That's the first thing Paul talks about here. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now we've talked about it a lot of times, kids. Do you remember what this word walk means? Well, yeah, you just go walk. But it means to take step after step after step, or repeated steps. In fact, this word means to tread all around, or walk at large. Now when I think of walking at large, I think of a prisoner. What happens when a prisoner is released from prison? There were certain areas they could walk, but once they're released, they're able to walk at large. They're able to go anywhere. They've got some freedom to tread all about. I'm walking all over. So when you and I go through this Christian life this week, we are to walk in Him wherever we go. As we go. However we live, it should be in Him. We aren't in bondage to our sin. In fact, He says, you've received Jesus. And we've looked at this earlier in the salvation that Christ offers. He said, so as you've received Him, so walk in Him. Be walking. Focus on the object of where I walk. It's not just walking around, but it's walk in Him. This reality that I must walk in Him. How do I walk in Christ Jesus? You know, we think about walking in the lake. Maybe you go out to the lake and you walk in the lake. If you're going to do certain fishing, sometimes you'll walk out into the water, whether it's in the river or the lake, and you'll walk in that. How do we walk in Christ? We open His Word. We spend time listening to Him through His Word. Then we put that into practice. Now, we've talked about our B as we're talking about what Baptist means. The B stands for biblical authority. The Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. So if I'm going to walk in Him, I practice what the Bible teaches. I spend time walking in Him in His way. Evaluating, practicing discernment. Is this good? Is this good? Which is better? Which is more honoring to the Lord? Whether it's in our entertainment or whether it's in the places that we go, the things that we spend our money on, the way we spend our time, practicing discernment in these things, walking in Him, His way. But not just to walk in Him. Paul says, be built up in Him. Yes, you've received Him, so walk in Him, but part of that walking process is to be built up in Him. You think about a kid when they learn to walk. A baby, why do we call them a toddler? Because they toddle all over the place. They might fall down as they're getting up and trying to walk. They'll hold on to the edge of the couch and kind of take a little baby steps. But they toddle around and fall a lot. Why is it that kids have a lot of bruises on their legs? They fall a lot. And as we think about that, they get more confident in life and walking. They get more comfortable so they can begin to walk on uneven surfaces. And then they can even run. And they're built up in their ability to walk. As Christians, we should be built up in Him. Paul says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. It reminds me of our message this morning. Rooted. That firm foundation. Maybe you like to garden and plant a garden. Those plants must take root so they can stand up. Even if you take these plants that maybe you buy plants that have already been grown, and then you go to put them in the ground, you don't set them right on top of the ground. You dig a little hole so that they're rooted in the ground. Now, we've been given that firm foundation. Who is our foundation? Jesus Christ. We talked about that this morning. Ye are the building of God. You are the temple of God. We have this foundation, but then I need to be built up in Him. It's all about growing in Him, knowing Him more, being strong in that foundation. The foundation isn't in myself, is it? The foundation isn't in our church. The foundation isn't in my giving financially or of my time to God. It's not found in my praying. Those are things that can build me up. That foundation, I've been rooted in Christ. But he says also then to be built up in Him, being strong in that foundation, grow in your relationship. Grow in that relationship with Christ. He says to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. To be established. Sometimes when you buy a product, I think of clothing lines. On the front of the shirt, sometimes they advertise them with EST period, and then they have a year. And that EST stands for established, when it began. Well, it's not just that it started at one point, but they're able to be strong and growing today, and that's why they can still advertise. The reality in our Christian life is, yes, there's a beginning. You haven't always been saved. You've been established in Him, but being established to the point that, man, I can just keep on strong in Him. I'm rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. I'm strengthened, I'm established, I'm confident living in the faith of God. Again, how do we get this way? It's by spending time in God's Word and letting His Word change the way we think, letting His Word direct us in the way that I live, the actions that I have. Be growing in this relationship. So you have received Him, so walk in Him. But the main part of the message this evening is here, number two. You have received Him, so stay focused. Stay focused. It's staying focused in what we've received. Staying focused in that foundation that we've been given. Staying focused in how we have been taught. He goes on, the end of verse 7. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Staying focused in life. Not always an easy thing, especially we think about in the spiritual life, the Christian life. There are so many things that can distract us in our relationship with God. What are some of the things that can distract us from our relationship with God? What's something that can distract us? Work. Is work an important thing? Well, yeah. At least if you want to eat, work is an important thing. But the reality is it can distract us too from our relationship with God. What else is good but can distract us? Sarah? Video games. There's nothing wrong with some of this technology. Now, some you want to be careful with. But there's nothing wrong with video games or TV or some of these other things in and of themselves. But they can distract us so that we're not focused on our relationship with God. There are so many different things in life that can do this. Whether it's work, whether it's a hobby, so many different things. What am I going to stay focused on in life? Ye have received Him, or you have received Him. So stay focused. Paul says, remember what you've been taught. In another passage, he challenges Timothy to remember what he's been taught by his mother. The things that you've been taught from a child. Salvation. The Scripture. The Word of God. He says here, as you have been taught. Well, as we look at those in our lives who God has placed as teachers, those are things we need to remember. Kids, not just once you get out of home to leave that, because you're trying something different. Before we ever change what we believe, one, we've got to go back to the Word of God and evaluate it. Is this what the Bible teaches? Well, if so, I can't leave it. But as we go into adulthood, sometimes even through the teen years, we begin to question, is this true? Well, we cling to what we've been taught, making sure it's according to the Word of God. Paul says, be established in the faith. He says, remember what you've been taught. As ye have been taught. There are so many things in this world that can distract us. Here we see the rudiments of this world, and we'll talk about that, the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world. But so many things in this world, the elements of this world that can distract us. But I must remember what I've been taught. One of the important aspects, I believe, for what we call church or our regular scheduled services is we're taught together the Word of God. And it reminds us, tomorrow I can live for God. But the longer we stay away from church, it's easier to forget those things we've been taught. Paul says in other passages, he says, you know these things, but it's needful for me to remind you of them. We just need to remember and stay focused on Him. We can do that. Remember what we've been taught. Maybe you take sermon notes. I know for me, when I take sermon notes, it helps me remember because I'm writing something down. But maybe you take them and you can look at them throughout the week. Or maybe throughout the week you can listen to some good preaching. Whether it's some other good preachers that are out there. Maybe it's a message God has used in your life. I remember when we went to camp, they would sell the preaching tapes. Now, kids are like, why would they sell tapes? But they would sell these preaching tapes at the end of the week. So, man, if there was a message God really used in your life, you could go back and you could listen to it again, remembering what you've been taught. And we need to take time this week to remember what we've been taught and stay focused on God. Stay focused on those things. How often is it that we make a commitment to God? God has challenged me in this area. And, man, God, would you help me this week? Would you help me to stay focused and remember this? And by Tuesday, we already what? Forgot. We need to put things in our life to remember what we've been taught. You have received Him. So stay focused by remembering what you've been taught. By remembering leaders in your life. There are two different kinds of leaders. There's the leaders who want to lead us to godliness, and then there's the leaders who want to lead us away from God and Him. We're reminded about the Apostle Paul as he's telling this church at Colossae, "Oh, I want to lead you in the faith and I want to teach you." We need to remember these leaders. But Paul goes on, there's not just good leaders. Remember, there are some who want to lead you their own way. There are many in our world. There are many religions who would love to take you and me and adopt us into their own religion. There are some who go door to door trying to do this. And I'm not saying that's bad. In fact, I think there's opportunities that we should go door to door and take at times. But some of these go door to door and they're able to recruit people. At least there was a point in history where a big group in the Latter-day Saint movements were former Baptists. Why? They didn't remember what they'd been taught. They didn't stay focused on the things of God. Why is it that in our auditorium Sunday school class right now, we're taking time as a church family to study the Baptist distinctives? So that we understand why we are a Baptist church. Not just because we go to a Baptist church, but to understand, why am I a Baptist? Why is this where I go? Why is this part of my life? Because we want to be established in the faith, strengthened, again, remembering we're rooted and built up in Him, making the Word of God priority and remembering these things. Paul uses this word spoil. How many of you kids like being spoiled? How many of you adults like being spoiled? Right, man, that's always a fun feeling. Maybe you were the spoiled one in your home growing up, or maybe it was your younger sibling. Right, Bernie, it was your younger brother who got spoiled all the time. And man, we the other way around, Claire says. And so, yeah. Well, we'll let you guys duke this out later. But, you know, we think about spoiling, and man, you're spoiled rotten. Well, Paul uses this word spoiled here. And the word spoil means to lead away as plunder, the way Paul is using it. To lead away as plunder, to carry off as spoil, to seduce. Again, look at how he says that. Beware lest any man spoil you, to lead you away like plunder from battle. To lead you away, to seduce you in your thinking. Now, we're not just talking moral areas. When we hear the word seduce today, we often think of moral areas of life. But we're talking here in our mind and in the truth of doctrine, what the Bible teaches. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through. And then he lists some things. This word for spoil is only found in the Bible. It's only found here in Colossians. This word that's translated for here, spoil. And it's interesting as he uses this. He then goes on and says there are some specific ways you can be spoiled or deceived, seduced away from the truths of God's Word. Remember what you've been taught. He's saying, watch out. People want to draw you away. Ultimately, Satan doesn't want us to walk with God. Satan doesn't want us to remember we're His, so walk in Him. We need to stay focused, though. Paul says here, he says, through philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy. Now, this is a class that a lot of kids have to take in school, in high school, a philosophy class. Or in college, your first year in college, sometimes there's a philosophy class. Just some practical teachings. Sometimes it develops a worldview. Now, we all have a worldview, but we need to make sure our worldview lines up with the Word of God. Here, Paul is saying, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Is it wrong to think through things? No. In fact, I believe it's very important for us to think through things. Should we think through why we trust Jesus Christ as Savior? Yeah. Should we think through why we walk in Him? Yeah. The study of that is called apologetics. Not apologizing for why I believe what I believe, but being able to defend it. These are why I believe the Bible is true. You ever been questioned, well, how do you know the Bible's true? Again, knowing some of these reasons for why we believe. We don't put our faith in reason. We put our faith in Christ. But here Paul is saying there is philosophy that can so easily deceive us from the proper way of thinking. Have you ever heard a smooth talker that seemed, wow, everything that they said, man, they almost convince you. And then it's just like, wait a second. You step back and like, wait a second. How could I have almost believed that? Because they're smooth talkers. Paul's saying there are people who are smooth talkers. Beware. This word philosophy is the love and pursuit of wisdom. Nothing wrong with pursuing wisdom and knowledge. Hence philosophy, the investigation of truth and nature. Investigating the truth, the thought processes. Again, we see so many philosophers. In fact, Paul went to some on Mars Hill. But we see so many in our day who are anti-God, who teach that this world was founded through all sorts of, whether it's the Big Bang or other means that they argue. Philosophy, investigating the truth. Vain deceit, Paul goes on. Vain deceit. This word vain means empty or fruitless. Man, if you had an apple orchard. Phil, when you had apple trees, you probably didn't want your trees to stay barren every year. Vain, the emptiness of them. Now here he's saying, through vain deceit. Again, deceit is pretty plain to most of us. The lies, the deceit, the delusion, covering our eyes, it's just empty. And so many of these people who are opposed to God in this world, antagonistic or atheistic even, and say there is no God, their vain philosophy, their vain deceit, it's empty. It doesn't lead to fullness. As it's been said, there's a God-sized hole in each of us, and only God can fill it. And Paul is saying that here, stay focused on Christ. It's all about Christ. They can deceive you and they can think, wow, they can lead you to think, man, this is what it's about. How many Christians have we seen led away? Maybe you've seen some in your life who, how can you go and believe that? They were led astray because they didn't stay what? Focused. And you and I must stay focused on the Word of God and on Christ, knowing Him. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 23, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There is the spiritual aspect of our lives, and it's all about Christ. We don't want to be led astray by the deceitful lusts of ourselves, by the deceitful philosophy that others believe themselves. Many people believe what they're teaching, but it's still deceitful. It's empty without Christ, apart from the Word of God. So Paul says, be careful of philosophy. Be careful of vain deceit. Be careful of tradition. Tradition. Is tradition wrong? In fact, it's interesting. What did Paul say up earlier? He said, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been what? Taught. Tradition in and of itself isn't wrong. Maybe you have certain traditions that you do, whether it's around Christmas time or another time of the year. You always do this, or this is when your family reunion is, and you've got it this weekend, and this is our tradition as a family, we get together. Or this is our tradition, we make these certain things around Christmas time. Traditions. Paul talks about tradition. That in and of itself, tradition isn't wrong. But was Paul himself led away with tradition as a young man? Sure was. Man, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Philippians chapter 3, he talks about all of his credentials and all those things of tradition that led him astray. Here he's saying, be careful of tradition, just that which is handed down over time. Specifically speaking of tradition of doctrinal belief. Doctrine, again, what the Bible teaches. Tradition is important, kids. You've been taught the Word of God. So don't just leave it as you become a young adult because, man, I don't know, this looks pretty appealing. This sounds pretty appealing. We don't jump ship from tradition just because we don't want tradition. There's a generation that has done that. We don't want what our parents had, so we're going this way. We're not going to do it that way. We're just going to go our own way and find it. there's a point of tradition. But Paul says there's a point of being careful for tradition. Verse 8 again, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Good tradition. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 2, Paul talks about tradition. And here he's using it as a good point. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. This is from the same Greek word as tradition here in Colossians, as I delivered them. There's the tradition. It's been handed down. Paul handed down what he received. It was the tradition. That's a good thing. Don't leave that. But he said there is the tradition of men. Galatians 1 verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. We must make sure that our doctrinal traditions are according to the Word of God. Why am I a Baptist? We're going through that. Why? Just because I was raised that way, or that's just the church I go to, or that's what I'm part of. Well, that's not ever a good enough reason. It wasn't good enough for me to be a Baptist because my dad's a Baptist. I had to come to this conclusion on my own. What does the Word of God teach? Biblical tradition. Look to the Word of God and be established in the faith. Hold the traditions of God's Word. But don't let the traditions of men distract us. This is the way we do it. Man, you got to come do it this way. Wait a second. Go back to the Word of God. Stay focused on Him. And then he talks about one other area, the philosophy, the vain deceit, the tradition. And then he says, the rudiments. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This word rudiments is one we don't use very often. In fact, I don't know if I've ever used it outside of the Word of God. As we look at this word rudiments, it gives the idea of a fundamental principle. Again, fundamental is a big word. Fundamental just means I go back to the what? Basics, what it really has been taught. So here he says the rudiments, the basics, the fundamental principles, the elements, or the fundamental principles of knowledge. We could take that even going back to this philosophy. There's just truth in the world. There's just the facts that they want us to believe and be established in. He says after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Science. Is science an important area for Christians to study? Sure is. But there are rudiments of the world in many science classes that are opposed to Christ. He said being not drawn away by these rudiments, evolution, there's so many different aspects we can look at in science. But then even in other aspects of just plain knowledge of life, being confident in Christ. And staying focused on Him. I remember reading in one of Ken Ham's books that as a kid, man, his dad was a public, I believe it was his dad, was a public school teacher over there down under. And man, as they were going through this, he didn't have all the science to back up creation. In fact, God gave him a son who was able to really grow in his science and love of that, and God has used Ken now in a great way. But when Ken was a boy, his dad is a science teacher. He didn't believe all the evolution, but there were things he had to teach. But he said, boys, as we look at the Word of God, it doesn't coincide with what the world teaches evolution, and we aren't going to believe that. The rudiments of the world. We've got to make sure that it's according to Christ and not to the rudiments of the world. To stay focused on Him. So staying focused. We have received Him, so we need to walk in Him. And we've received Him, and this week we need to stay focused on Him. As we go through the everyday aspects of life, staying focused on Christ. School, work, hobby, responsibility, that I would stay focused on Him this week. And not get distracted by these things, some which aren't bad in and of themselves, but when they distract me, Paul says in Hebrews, as we lay aside every sin and the weight which so easily distracts us. Let's stay focused this week. Praying that God will give us opportunity to share the truth of the gospel even with two people. But praying, God, would you help me not to get distracted in my own walk. That I will walk in you. and stay focused this week. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather around your word. God, I pray that you would help each of us to stay focused. There are so many things in life to distract us. But would you help us to stay focused on you, be drawn close to you? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, maybe you're here and I know most of you and I've heard many of your salvation testimonies, but maybe you're here and you say, man, I can't stay focused if I don't know Jesus as Savior. Friend, I want to encourage you, don't leave without being saved, without being established in Him, being rooted in Christ. But for those of us who are saved in here, maybe God has challenged your heart this evening with staying focused. There's a certain thing that's distracting you. And you just want to, again, give that over to the Lord. Lord, would you help me this week to stay focused? Maybe the Lord has challenged you in a specific area. Man, I'd love to pray for you today, this week. Anybody, Pastor, would you pray? God has challenged me with a certain area in my life to stay focused. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Let's stay focused. Amen. Let's stay focused on Him this week. Father, as we close in prayer, we ask that you would help us. God, you've spoken to some hearts specifically about an area of life that they just need to stay focused in. Would you help them? Would you help us this week to stay focused and walk in you? With our heads bowed, I just want to give you an opportunity right there in your seat to deal with God. God, thank you for speaking to my heart. Help me this week. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the gift of salvation, the gift of a relationship with you. And because of those things, would you help us this week to stay focused and walk in you? And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Aren't you thankful for God's great love? Let's stay focused. And yet, remembering those things